Gee, it's good to be back home again. I thank you for your grace and your patience with me last week. I missed a couple things. At lunch, I realized I didn't say anything about the offering. Then as I was going to bed, I thought, oh, I didn't do the confession of sin or the absolution. And I thought, those folks didn't say a thing about not getting the opportunity to give money or to confess their sins. Okay. Yeah, there's the message. So I brought some friends with me this week to help me. So, no, it really is an honor and a blessing to be here with you this week. I begin with a question, as you've seen, that perhaps the title of the message is, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for something to be delivered that you've ordered online but is out of stock and you're on a wait list? Are you waiting for your tax return to hit your bank account? I heard a blurb on the news the other night. If your tax return hasn't come, don't worry. There's a benefit. Now, it was one of those promo bites for something coming later, and I never heard what was coming later. And I trust it will be your tax return. Or perhaps you're waiting on a phone to ring and news from your doctor on the reports of your most recent lab or test results. Or perhaps you're not waiting for the phone to ring. Perhaps you're waiting for the gas prices to come down and the stock market to go up. Don't hold your breath. All right. Perhaps you're waiting on healing, either for yourself or for a loved one. Or, and for some of you at home, such as the Jensens and Nile, you're waiting for this to be over and for the quarantine to be ended so you can rejoin the family, come back to life with the living. How many of you enjoy waiting? Let the record show not a single hand. I did not see that hand go up. What is it about waiting that bothers us? Having to wait even has a negative connotation. We live in a fast-paced society, a hurry. Time is of the essence. We have important things to do, places to be, people to see. Waiting hits the pause button, slows us down, brings us to a stop. Fast food. Microwaves have given over to Instant Pots and Instant Credit. I was at the bank the other day because our bank was doing some changing of the accounts, and I read three times this explanation. I could not figure it out, so I called my personal banker, and she said, sure, come over, I'll explain it to you. And in the course of the process, she says, I see you're using an old credit card. I said, yeah, I've had it for years. She said, we have something now called an active cash card. Would you like one? And she explained what it was. I said, yeah, sure. And it's even got one of these little gizmos on here so you don't even have to insert it and punch in numbers. You just go, bink! How fast you can spend your cash. Active cash. No slowing down. No waiting with that. But you know, waiting can be a good thing. It can even be a God-ordained opportunity for you, for me, to learn something about Him, something about ourselves, something about life. I want you to hold that thought for a moment. We are in the season of Easter. We call it Eastertide, a season of 50 days between Resurrection Sunday and Pentecost Sunday. And this is a season of celebration. And what is it that we celebrate in this season? Is it not this new life we have in Christ? We call it the resurrected life. And traditionally during the seasons and the summer, the Sundays, excuse me, of Eastertide, our sermons on various aspects of this new life, this resurrected life we have in Christ. Now, a few moments ago, you heard Debbie read that extended passage from Colossians chapter 3, a beautiful passage about the new life we have in Christ. Specifically in verses 12, 13, and 14, the Apostle Paul catalogs a number of virtues. And what are virtues? They're characteristics of this new life we have in Christ, of this resurrected life. Now, I'm going to list those for you again. And as I do, I want you to think, which one of these virtues is most closely associated with, or perhaps best demonstrated by and in and through our opportunities to wait? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, the old King James word forbearance, forgiveness, love. Which one of those do we most often associate with or have the opportunity to demonstrate in and through waiting? Patience. It seems nothing tries our patience more so than having to wait, especially when we don't want to wait. And perhaps nothing provides a better opportunity for us to put on patience than waiting. So, why do you think of all these virtues, I have picked patience to preach on this morning? Could it be that I prayed and asked the Lord what He would have me preach on? And I did that. That I heard Him say, Jim, you need to preach on patience, for there are some folks at Messiah that are really trying mine. You could laugh. No, He didn't say that. Or did He say, there's some folks at Messiah that really need to hear this, for they need to put on the garment of patience? Now, that is probably closer to the truth, but He didn't say that either. Now, what He said was He reminded me that I needed to preach on this because I needed to hear what He wanted me to say. And not only hear it, but do it, be it, live it. For you see, at the beginning of the year, and actually it was in November of last year, the Lord let me know that my word for the coming year, 2022, would be patience. A number of years ago, I heard a teaching, and now there's even been a book written called One Word. Some of you have probably heard about that. But the instructions are simple. It is at the beginning of each new year to pray and ask the Lord to give you a word, the word He wants you to focus on, to study, to learn, to practice in the coming year. And I have done this for many years. I don't even know how far back it goes. But in 2019, my word was serve, and it was a verb, and the Lord let me know that. But invariably, as I begin to work or study and research and read, which is my habit as a teacher to do, the Lord begins to show me there's another aspect of this word that you need to grasp. In the case of serve, it was the virtue humility. In 2020, my word was compassion. And I soon learned that what the Lord was working in me or on me for was mercy. Then in 2021, excuse me, my word was agape, not just love, but agape. And what the Lord was leading me to was to understand sacrifice, self-sacrifice, sacrificial love. So it was no surprise, really, to me in November of 2021 that the Lord let me know the coming year would be patience. After all, excuse me, in 1 Corinthians 13, we learn that the first thing the Apostle Paul says about love is that it is patient, and it is kind. So now my word is patience. And I'm learning, or that is, I'm trying to learn, that my focus, as the Lord is showing me, is on learning to wait. Specifically, learning to wait on Him. We sang a beautiful song a moment ago. Strength will rise as you wait upon the Lord. It comes from the Isaiah passage, chapter 40, that Debbie read. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, I know in the translation we read now, the NIV, it's those who hope in the Lord. But I've done my diligent word study and recognized that that word, wait, can be translated wait, it can be translated hope. And the sense of hope is, as Paul says in Romans 5, does not disappoint. Why? Because it's certain. It's sure. You can be confident of the Creator and the Sustainer of the universe, the everlasting God. Knows exactly who you are, where you are, what you're going through, what's going through you. And as you wait on Him, He gives you that strength, that patience to see through and to see Him through, carry you through in the midst of the situations and circumstances. So there's a lot to learn still, and I'm still learning. And I trust that what I share with you that I've learned will be beneficial in helping you put on this garment to clothe yourselves with patience. Now, I want to look up more closely at this passage in Colossians chapter 3. And I encourage you to listen along as well as to look at these verses when you have the opportunity to do so. Because this is, and keeping in mind the theme of Easter, the new life, the resurrected life in Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And now your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Verse 5, put to death. Put to death. That's an imperative. You put to death. That means you must be, I must be, we must be intentional about putting these. And He's going to catalog now a list of vices. To put those in contrast with the virtues that He will list in verses 12, 13, and 14. But I want to underscore the word intentional, conscious choice on your part to take the necessary action to put to death. It's our responsibility, right? Now that's heavy, but here's the good news. You don't have to do this. In fact, you cannot do this by yourself. You necessarily need help, and by the grace of God, He has given you a helper. Can you guess who the helper is? The Holy Spirit. He's also given you numerous resources. Can you guess what some of those resources might be? Yes, God's Word. You heard in the Gospel. If my words remain in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. The aspect of abiding in God's Word, remaining in God's Word. I'll bring more of that in a moment. There are other helpers as we live in community, as the concluding verses point out. I'll bring that back in a moment. So, though we have this responsibility and must take action of our own accord, we have the helper and we have helps. And we must not only be intentional, but cooperative. Have you ever tried to help somebody and they just wouldn't cooperate? Anybody ever had children? I'm looking at Sandra looking at me. She's helped me so many times. I don't need that. Yes, you do. So... All right, let me go on. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways. This is the old life, in life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves. Love that phrase, rid yourselves. Again, your responsibility. Rid them. Kill it. These are not nice things to have. Of all such things as these, more vices, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips, lying to each other. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. End of verse 9. I want to pause there. Paul is going to use a metaphor here, he's going to use the metaphor of clothing. Right, so picture, to put to death, to rid ourselves, is to take off the old nature. Consider these vices as grave clothes. Right? You're taking off the old. And in contrast, you're going to put on a whole new wardrobe. And this is verse 10. Verse 9 again, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self with it being which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Have you ever gotten a new suit or a new dress or a new article of clothing? Brand spanking new, sparkling clean, the smell, springtime fresh. It makes you feel better, doesn't it? Makes you look better. Even if it doesn't, you feel like you look better, so you smile. We have a new wardrobe, and that wardrobe is Christ. And we're to carry about the aroma of Christ. Just like the priests were anointed with that special incense, such that when they walked through the crowd, people would go, there's an anointed one. We have that ointment, that anointed oil on us in Christ and the Holy Spirit. And we're not only to look like it, we're to act like it. We're not only to smell like it, we're to be as Christ would be. And he says, now, here there is no Jew nor Greek. There's no circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. And this has to do with the aspect of community. And it's in the aspect of community, perhaps, living in community, in marriage, in family with children, in our home groups, in congregation, in committee meetings. We have the opportunity of putting on these virtues that follow, and particularly, specifically, patience. It's the other people that are always the problem. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with each other, forgiving whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony. All right, I want to pause now and focus specifically on patience. Paul is using the metaphor here of clothing. Think for a moment. What article of clothing would you choose to represent patience? Just think. I'm stretching the metaphor here just for the sake of helping us grasp. What color would that article of clothing be? What color represents patience for you? What's your favorite color? Mine is blue. Years ago, one of my children gave me a running shirt my shirt material is very soft and it's very light. And it's Carolina blue. I know, I'm prejudiced, I'm from Carolina. And that represents patience to me. And that's what I would picture it as. But what does that picture for you? Just think about that for a moment. And gosh, would that we could go to a clothing store and go down the aisle and find the patience rack and pull it out, put it on, and say, I've got patience. I was thinking about running down to Kohl's into the men's department and asking the clerk, if you can find one, where can I find the patience shirts? Oh, they're down there. Well, I'm sorry, we're all out of patience. But I can put your name on a wait list. Okay, maybe I've stretched it. Well, let me stretch it a little bit more. We can't go buy a patience shirt. But if we're to put on a patience shirt, how do we get it? Well, you have to hand sew it yourself. Now, that would require patience. Think about it. But you don't have to do it by, you can't do it by yourself. You have to have the helper help you. And realize the clothing is coming more from within than coming from without. But it's still something that we must wear. Patience, the word study, just a bit of a word study. If you have the old King James Version, you know what the word, how it's translated in the King James? Long suffering. Now, as tough a word as patience is, long suffering just makes you miserable. Nobody likes to suffer, much less for a long time. Well, actually, the word comes from a two-part word. I heard Chuck Swindoll share this years ago. The first part is macro, which where we get long. And the second part has to do with heat. It's the words, our English words, thermal, thermostat, thermos, and thermometer all come from that basic word. It literally means long to get heated or long to get hot. Patience means keeping your cool in difficult situations and circumstances. So okay, does that really help? Perhaps. But what does help? And there are some practical means that we can take hold of or to use, employ, cooperate with in order for us to put on this garment. And we find some of those in these last verses of Colossians 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Music, as the poet will say, has charms to soothe the savage breast. Music is a God-given gift to calm you down when the temperature is rising and to help you be patient in situations, particularly when you're having to wait. And sing these with gratitude in your hearts to God. You know, keeping a gratitude journal is an excellent way of slowing you down, helping you think about all the good things God has done and has given you. And it's an excellent way of helping patience grow from within and showing without. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Again, I want to come back to letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, spending time in God's word daily. First thing, that helps you slow down and prepare for the day. And letting that word dwell in you richly helps you to remain in Him. His promise is to remain in you. The aspect of teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, learning from those you trust who have your best interest at heart, that is being willing to receive correction and instruction and in help. Being grateful, I've mentioned the gratitude journal, doing all that you do in the name of the Lord Jesus, that aspect of recognizing and realizing that you're having the opportunity God is presenting to bear fruit that brings Him glory. How many times have you been thanked by a very busy and flustered helper, whether it's a nurse in a doctor's office or a clerk in a store who says, "Thank you for your patience." Some of you are going, I don't ever remember that. Oh, sermon's for you. Sandra and I were in the doctor's office the other day for just a routine thing. And it got late. It was 20 minutes behind when we were supposed to have the appointment. We had gotten there a half an hour before because they told us to. And the first thing the nurse said, and she was so sweet, her name was Stacy, says, "I'm so sorry for you. You're having to wait. Thank you for your patience." And I was going, "Yeah, Lord." So now we will work on humility. All right, I want to give you some practical, very practical things you can do. You're going to laugh at these. Intentionally, get in the longest checkout line at the grocery store. And don't measure yourself against the other line. Get in the longest line at a stoplight. Don't get behind a dump truck, but get in the longest line so that you will have to slow down. All right, drive the speed limit. I see Chris laughing. And don't worry about the idiot that's trying to crawl into your back seat. Tell him, "I'm working on patience, thank you." Refrain from finishing someone else's... I heard it. Sentence. See, I told you. Eat slowly at your own table. Not in the front seat of your car, pulling out of Wendy's, right down the road with ketchup. I've come across two books that are excellent reading. I've listened to them, however, on audiobook. The Power of Patience by Mary Ann Ryan. Now, this is a secular book. Funny thing, I was listening to this in January. Started January the 1st. After all, God said, "Brown, patience. Okay, I'll start right now." I'm listening to this audiobook on January the 2nd, and I've journaled this on January the 3rd. Yesterday morning, I was listening to this. At some point, I'm listening while I'm shaving, and she's talking about being in a hurry, and it dawns on me, I have my listening speed on my phone audiobook at 1.5x. And I have to laugh at myself. Here I am listening at a faster speed so I can get through this book on patience faster. I know better than to pray, "Lord, give me patience now." But I also listened to the audiobook by Andrew Murray, Waiting on God. I recommend both of those, particularly Andrew Murray's book on waiting on God. So, saints, and the Lord will provide ample opportunities, even before you get out of this room, perhaps even now because I'm running along, the Lord will give you ample opportunities to slow down, perhaps stop, and to wait. And I encourage you to wait on Him, to take a slow, deep breath, inhale slowly, exhale slowly, and smile. And say, "Yes, Lord, thank you for this opportunity to develop, to practice, to put on patience. What is it, Lord, you want me to know? To learn about you, about myself, about life, about this new life, this resurrected life you have given me that I have in you. I'm listening." And do listen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being patient with us, with me. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness, your steadfast love, your great faithfulness. And thank you for the gifts of the Helper, your Holy Spirit, and your living Word, and for the community of fellow followers that together in this new life, this resurrected life, we can teach and admonish and instruct one another Indeed, Lord, may we clothe ourselves with each of these virtues, all of these virtues, and in so doing bring you glory and honor in all that we say and do. For it's in your precious and holy name, with thanksgiving, we pray. Amen.
Wow, thank you, Pastor Jim. Thank you. Learning to be patient. Well, we're going to stand, and Tim Maurer, our worship leaders, picked this wonderful song that just is going to reinforce what we've heard in the Word. And let's just learn to wait on the Lord and to be patient, trusting in the Lord, not just waiting, but waiting on the Lord.